Blacks are fake. Alsa Vancelot, Bowtie, Caduceus.
All stars in the history of harness racing.
Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Where the stars come alive.
And welcome back. Amanda Rando joins me now. Amanda, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Simon.
Now, we'll touch on the Inter Dominion a little later, but first of all, this big announcement came through from Jeff Want yesterday morning, right after the Inter Dominion had been run, that the whip will be banned from the 1st of September next year.
Yeah, that's right. So, yes, it's been a very busy week in harness racing, and, yes, that massive news broke through yesterday. Harness Racing Australia announced that banning of whips in racing and training will come into place from September 1 next year. So making Australia the first country in the world to voluntarily ban the whip.
Well, Harness Racing New South Wales CEO John Dumisney is on the line this morning. He's with us now. John, good morning.
Good morning, Simon. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, John. Thanks for joining us here. You've been involved in harness racing for most of your life. Would you say this whip ban is one of the biggest and most impacting decisions that you've seen in your time in the sport?
It certainly ranks up there with some significant changes in the sport. And all these changes are basically an evolution to bring us to where we are. And if we talk about the way we started races, our all standing starts, we talk about handicapping systems. We talk about breeding, and artificial insemination was a significant step in a certain direction with breeding in horses, but in harness horses. But the announcement about the whip, I must say, was inevitable, but it's about an evolution bringing us through from times well past.
So how do you believe this will impact harness racing going forward?
That's a very interesting question, Amanda. Certainly, in respect of how will we be accepted in that wider community, well, I think there's certainly plenty of evidence there that the community at large, now I don't say the community as in the fraternity of harness racing people, but the community at large will certainly see that this is a step forward when we talk about the way we treat others. But in this case, because we're in a sport that relies so heavily on animals, how we treat those horses correctly.
Do you think this decision will now have an impact on thoroughbred racing or other equine sports?
In my heart of hearts, it shouldn't have an impact on the thoroughbred racing. The thoroughbred racing has certainly made giant steps in applying changes to the whip rule, and we have two different, like we're dealing with horses here, but we have two different modes of transport. One is a finite person, a very small person on top of a very massive animal and having to control them, and the other is a driver in a gig. Now, it can be very dangerous being a driver in a gig, and in that case, from the Harness Racing New South Wales perspective, the safety of the driver will be paramount. The safety of the horse is always paramount, but most of all, the safety of the driver will be paramount. So in that case, if a driver has to carry a crop, for example, they will be carrying those crops in New South Wales to prevent any incident which may place in danger those drivers.
So the whip won't be, sorry, Amanda, I was just going to say, John, the whip won't be, it'll be replaced by something else. It won't just disappear. The driver will still have something, won't they?
So, certainly will. And I suppose we're not using the word whip because the announcement is that we're banning whips. But it's the same word, but crop. Crop is a padded whip type device that you can use on a horse or an animal to correct its infractions, and as I say, in New South Wales, that will be the case.
Okay. Well, since this announcement was made, that has been one of the main concerns voiced from trainers and drivers, mainly that safety aspect of not carrying with and the role it does play in the education process of horses. So, now that this decision has been made, what is the consultation process going forward with the horsemen and women?
Now, well, I'll go backwards a little bit in the fact that this has been on the table. This has been on the table since earlier this year when the government made other announcements in relation to the greyhound industry that we have to look at what we're doing in the areas of anywhere where the wider audience might think we're being cruel and improper to these animals. I those instances will come up. But I don't see it. I do not see it in harness racing. The drivers have adapted and adopted going forward somewhat. So what we have there is the fact that even last night at Menangle, the winner of the main race did not have the whip applied to it. It was the best horse naturally in the race because that's what the results said. Yes, we need luck in racing. We need good breeding of these horses. We need good drivers of these horses. But at the end of the day, we've had this discussion going backwards. Going forward, we certainly will have more discussion. And yesterday I had a lengthy talk with John McCarthy, the head of the UHRA, who represents the trainers and the drivers. And at the annual general meeting, which will be in January, there will be very, very strong discussion and consultation in relation to this decision and many others as well.
Okay, well, I guess in some degree you can only talk from a New South Wales perspective, but will the whips be slowly phased out before the September 1 date, or will they be used right up until that date and then cut off, or is this part of the consultation process that you'll decide about that?
Well, the phasing out, a phasing out period would not achieve anything great. The consultation must take place. An initial date has been adopted, and that is the date. If we're a little bit wishy-washy and don't set any sort of positions, well, we'll just meander on for some while. But this has the reaction from this announcement is very strong, expected to be strong, and now we'll sit down and get into what is in the best interest of all concerned, including the animal, including the drivers, and that's where we'll go from.
And John, Amanda, I was just going to ask what the general feeling has been amongst the drivers when they heard the announcement.
I actually canvassed calls before the announcement because the announcement naturally, for whatever reason, was leaked out. The reaction was very strong, very, very anti this decision, but that was based on some incorrect information. I've given, as I said, the UHRA, on behalf of Harness Racing New South Wales, an assurance that we will be sitting down, we'll be consulting, and we'll be taking this forward in a proper manner to get to an end result. And the end result is in whips, in races, whips for the use of punishment of a horse will be removed.
Yeah, so I guess for some of those listeners out there that might not know, a few moons ago, John, you actually drove in races too. So you do have that understanding. And I guess the essence of this issue is really about the idea of whipping horses to go faster, which needs to be changed. Would you agree?
Well, a few moons ago was more than a few moons ago, probably Amanda. But I would never compare myself or put myself in the position of the drivers in this sport, or in particular the drivers that are the real exponents of getting the best out of a horse without using that the persuasion of a whip. New Zealand do it very well. If you watched, and I'm sure you did, the Dominion final, there was no, in my opinion, abusive use of the whip with Josh Aiken, a young driver, and a champion driver, an older man in Mark Purden. They got their horses to the line with very little persuasion as far as the use of the whip is. We can look at the Melbourne Cup and what a marvellous finish that was. And I don't mean to bring the thoroughbreds in, but the jockeys in the thoroughbred world, they basically only use the whip as a very last resort in any circumstances when it is driving to the line. So we need to adapt, adopt, but we do need to consult, and we will consult.
All right. Well, thanks for that insight, John, and joining us this morning. I'm sure many people, there were a lot of questions asked at Menangle last night, so hopefully you've answered some of those. Before I let you go, though, are you at the Ready to Run sale at Menangle by any chance today?
I will be a little bit later this morning. I'm still at my desk at this point, but I will be. But plenty of questions should be asked. In relation to the whip and other matters in harness racing. It costs nothing to ask the question, and everybody deserves to get the answer.
All right. Well, harness racing certainly has some interesting times ahead. Thanks for your time, John.
Yes, and I'll say this is an evolution with the whips. We certainly don't want a revolution, and that's why Harness Racing New South Wales will deal with this in a very business-like manner.
Thank you.
Good on you, John. Have a good Sunday.
Same to you, Simon. Same to you, Amanda.
John Dumasney there. Gee, I wonder if the Kiwis would follow suit, Amanda.
Yeah, look, I saw Mick Guerin put something out on Twitter yesterday saying that at this stage, no, but I guess watch this space. So I guess initially not at this stage, according to Mick Guerin's tweets, but, yeah, who knows?
Well, it certainly has been big news, that's for sure. But we had the biggest race as well this weekend, of course, with the Interdom on Friday night. And, well, it looked like Hector JJ was going to get the money, but Smolder was just too tough.
Yeah, well, he sure was. The Aussie-bred Kiwi Smolder, he made it a true staying performance to hold out Hector JJ, and I guess essentially that is the essence of the Inter-Dominion. It was a 76th Inter-Dominion Grand Final, and surprisingly, it was Mark Purden's first Inter-Dominion winner as a trainer. He drove Mark Hanover to victory in the 1991 edition at Alexandra Park. But, this year's series, it had its sensations, particularly with Lenny the Shark being scratched the day before the race. I believe Lenny's back in Victoria and hopefully aimed at the Victoria Cup after, you know, having those abscesses in his hoofs. But look, from a New South Wales perspective, it was a good result. Of course, Smolder, he's part-owned in New South Wales, Simon, by Marcus Kirkwood. Mm. He's from the Hunter region. Well, Bring It On, he ran an unlucky fourth in the race and hit the line well. We also had Ultimate Art. He finished second in the Inter-Dominion Constellation. And I guess the other major win for New South Wales on the night was Toddy McCarthy. He took out the Australasian Young Drivers Championship.
Yes, of course. So that was it's been quite a big weekend, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, that for New South Wales, that was the first time in 12 years someone from the state won that Australasian Young Drivers Championship, and only two other drivers have achieved that prior to Todd's effort. And look, Todd was back on the plane Saturday morning, and he landed in Sydney yesterday afternoon and headed straight out to Menangle last night. And his success continued, Simon. He won the feature race, the Group 3 Teeny Teeny Stakes with Cyclone Kate, who's trained by his father, John McCarthy. It's a pretty good effort. The mare, she was first up from a spell, and she caused a minor boil over, beating the $1.30 favourite Arms of an Angel, who just went a bit rough heading out of the home turn, the first turn, and then had to, you know, be positioned in a tough spot. So, look, I spoke to trainers Shane and Lauren Tritton following her effort because she finished in sixth position, and they said the mare is okay. She does have the tendency to do this, but look, as a precaution, they are going to have her vetted on Monday.
Okay, well, thanks for the update there, Amanda. Fresh out of time with all of that news to cover, but thanks for your help. And I think you're on again next Sunday.
Yes, I will be. And during the week, we also have our Trots Talk podcast as well. So yeah, plenty. The listeners will be hearing me a lot this week.
We'll do the podcast on Wednesday and then put it up on the website.
Great stuff.
Thanks, Amanda. Catch you later in the week.
All right. Thanks, Simon.
Amanda Rando there. Yes, it's 12 minutes to 11. We better make a start on our greyhound racing for the weekend.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world,
but Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Stay with Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Yeah, Stewie Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is with me. Stuart, good morning to you.
Morning, Simon. How are you going today?
Yeah, not too bad. We've had a couple of big races over the last few days, quite a few group events, including the Group 1 Brisbane Cup on Friday night.
Yeah, it was certainly have, mate. I'm still recovering after what's been a dramatic 36 hours of greyhound racing. It started at Albion Park on Friday night. 30 talks producing one of the best finishes you'll see anytime, anywhere, to defeat his kennel mate Zabdon Ferrari and win the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup for trainer Tony Brett. It was an absolutely amazing finish. Well done to Tony and Connections.
Let's have a listen to Friday night's Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup.
Off now, out fast Zabdon Ferrari, 30 talks in hot pursuit, followed by Crazy Vixen. Outside passes back about sixth, going out of the straight, Zabdon Ferrari by a length and a half. 30 talks is second, and Crazy Vixen got to third, followed by What a Nice Size. Then outside pass and Blazing Bomber, well back Night Like Tommy and Lady Abigail. Near the turn, Zabdon Ferrari by two, 30 talks tries ever so hard, Zabdon Ferrari and 30 talks, here they come, 30 talks, Lucky Lenny and Terrific Tony. 30 talks went home to beat Zabdon Ferrari. Thirds between outside pass.
There's Tony Brett Quinella there. Stewie, 30 talks defeating Zabdon Ferrari. Outside pass jumped the favourite and ran third there. What did you make of its performance?
Yeah, look, it was certainly a good effort by outside pass. A little bit unlucky, but look, the way 30 talks powered home there at the finish, Simon, was just absolutely incredible. And to run 29.57 as well was a brilliant effort. And look, even by his high standards, Tony Brett has had an incredible year. He's had a stack of big wins. And that was actually his 15th Group 1 title, Simon. What an amazing achievement that is. Well done to him. And look, I think he said that 30 talks might head down to the Meadows for a crack at the Group 1 Silver Chief. The heats of that are on Christmas Eve, I think. So he's been racing well in Victoria recently at Sandown Park. So look, you won't bet against him there. But well done to Tony. He's one of the he's one of the most respected trainers around. A lovely guy. He's got a great setup up there in Queensland, and he's done it again.
I saw the money came late for Darren Pattinson's run up Blazing Bomber. Duke was pretty keen on this one, out of box five. Managed fourth. What did you make of his run?
Yeah, well, I think I actually tipped Blazing Bomber on the show with you last week. He just couldn't quite get into the race, and that's probably just his only downfall. He's sometimes a bit slow at the start, but look, he's a wonderful greyhound, and look, he might still have one or two big wins left in him. He's an absolutely fantastic greyhound, but look, 30 talks, running 29.57 at Albion Park. That's a wonderful time. And he was a deserving winner of that one.
So that was the Brisbane Cup on Friday night. Last night at Wentworth Park, we had the Christmas gift heats as well as the Summer Cup final.
Yes, we did. And look, most of New South Wales' best greyhounds involved in the Christmas gift. And look, not many better than Clocks Ticking at the moment. And he continued his strong recent form by winning his heat last night in a pretty strong 30.07. Another good win for him. And he looks the one to watch in the final this Saturday.
Racing, Mr. Twister got away, well, so did Clocks Ticking. Clocks Ticking's got too much burn. He got across, led by two to Mr. Twister, followed by Virouette Explosive Range. Then Ritzer Rossi, followed by Kaya's Comet. A long way back, finding Mo Old Timer back at the tail. Clocks Ticking is hiking, he's burning. He's five in front of Mr. Twister. They'll follow by Virouette, then Ritzer Rossi in Explosive Range, but it's Clocks Ticking in control. He goes all the way. Clocks Ticking by three. Mr. Twister second ahead of Ritzer Rossi and then Explosive Range.
So Clocks Ticking there, yeah, probably starts the favourite in the final then, Stewie.
Look, I would say so, even though he's got box five. I noticed that he did win from box five at Wentworth Park a few weeks ago, so it shouldn't be too much of a hurdle for him. But look, the box draw has really thrown this one wide open, and it's a great final as well, Simon. You've got a real mix of veterans and promising greyhounds. Bessie Boo, the king of Wentworth Park, well, he's got box one. Brad Hillbilly in box three and Mr. Twister in box six. And look, I actually drew box seven for Gate Blaster, who qualified. And look, seven's always been my lucky number. So look, if he comes up, Connections, if you're listening and you want to throw me a celebratory beer at the finish, I won't complain about that one. But look, for me, Clocks Ticking from box five, he's probably the one to be on in the Christmas gift final, I think.
Okay, so that's next Saturday night.
It is, and as I said, it looks an absolutely fantastic race, and that's part of a great festive night's entertainment at Wentworth Park, so look, that's going to be an absolutely unmissable night.
The Group 3 Summer Cup final was on last night, and it was a dead heat involved.
It was. We had an incredible dead heat in that one between Melissa's Pride and Ring the Bell. I mean, you have to say, first of all, what a run by both of them. Melissa's Pride carved across from box six and led most of the way round. But what a finish by Ring the Bell, who absolutely flew home. And we got the dead heat. It was absolutely incredible.
Let's have a listen to the replay of last night's Summer Cup.
Green lie through. 7:20 the journey. Set and ready. Racing. Melissa's Pride began brilliantly. She's carving across. She'll take up the early lead over Nangar Flame. They'll follow by Lovelace, Ring the Bell. Followed up by Gutterdoo Cove. Went some April's drifted a long way back then. Whitaker. Acheron back at the tail. Short of one to go. Melissa's Pride, the front runner. Led by 1 1/4, Nangar Flame. 2 1/2 to Lovelace. Followed by Ring the Bell. 3 to Gutterdoo Cove, Whitaker. They'll follow by Acheron. Went some April back at the tail. Top corner. Bonnie Little, Melissa's Pride, still the leader. Led by 2 to Nangar Flame. Lovelace, Ring the Bell. Gutterdoo Cove coming hard. Melissa's Pride in the lead. Gutterdoo Cove coming right down the centre. Melissa's Pride, Ring the Bell. Late Melissa's Pride and Ring the Bell. Of it and locked together, they're out of sync.
And it was a dead heat between Melissa's Pride and Ring the Bell. We don't see too many of these, Stewie. You see Jerry O'Keefe on track. He was happy to take the dead heat.
He certainly was. And look, I was in the stir up at Wentworth Park for the finish, and I can tell you there was plenty of eyes on the display board waiting for the result. And then when it came through, nobody could quite believe it, Simon. But well done to Jerry and Michelle Shambler, the trainer of Melissa's Pride. They took the result in really good spirits. And look, I know they're two of the most dedicated trainers around. So look, well done to them both and all the connections. And look, a fantastic night for them.
Was that the first time you've seen a dead heat for first in a group race, a greyhound race?
I think there was one earlier this year, again involving two of Tony Brett's greyhounds up at Gold Coast Cup up at Brisbane earlier this year. But certainly they don't come along too often. But gee, it was an absolutely brilliant finish by Ring the Bell. He looked out of it, and then he just seemed to grow wings and came home over those last 30 metres. But look, an absolutely fantastic finish there, and well done to them both.
Winsome April, what happened? It started equal favourite, so. Where did it wind up?
Yeah, I think he finished around about fifth or sixth, and again, just couldn't quite get into a winning position in that one. Melissa's Pride really, I mean, almost ran the perfect race, to be honest. As I said, she came out absolutely fantastic from box six, was leading them home for most of the way. And look, she's a genuine stayer, and she's been running over this distance really well over these last few months. So not too much of a surprise that she was in the mix. And then Ring the Bell, as we heard, coming with that brilliant finish. And look, a great effort by them both.
And what about Lovelace?
Yeah, again, Lovelace, maybe on reflection, not drawn too fantastic out wide, and again, couldn't quite get into the race. But that greyhound is one to keep an eye on. Her trainer, Johnny Smart, done absolutely fantastic with her over the last few months. Again, she's a genuine stayer. I think she's one to keep an eye on, especially with the Association Cup coming up over the next couple of months. I was talking to Jerry O'Keefe afterwards, and he said he might bring Ring the Bell back up here to New South Wales for the Association Cup. So that greyhound, probably one to keep an eye on as well.
And just going back to a Thursday night from last week, I saw there was a roughie in the Sir John Dillon Memorial at Sandown Park with Star Tirana getting the cash for Sean Evans at about $31.
Yeah, that's right. And interesting again that another New South Wales greyhound goes interstate and bags one of the biggies. Always great to see New South Wales having the bragging rights. But well done to Sean. I know he's got a great kennel down there, down in the Oaks. And look, it's great to see him getting a win. And especially Star Tirana as well. That greyhound has been knocking on the door of a big win over the last year or so. Fantastic to see him come up with the goods and a great win in that one.
So you mentioned the Christmas gift on next Saturday night at Wentworth Park. What else is happening up around the state over the next 7 days?
Yeah, we've got loads to look forward to over the next week. We've got the Twilight Canberra meeting later today, and then tomorrow we've got a really busy day with meetings at Nowra, Bathurst, Grafton, and a Monday night Wentworth Park meeting as well. Tuesday they jump at Goulburn, Gosford and Lismore. Wednesday we've got Richmond and Wentworth Park. Thursday, they jump at Dubbo, Maitland and Dapto. Friday, we've got another busy one. They jump at Casino, Unibet Gardens, Richmond and Wagga. And then Saturday, it's back to the Gardens, Bull Eye and Wentworth Park for that super meeting featuring the Christmas gift final. And just a little further afield, we've got the heats of the Group 1 Hobart 1000 on Thursday night as well. That's always one to keep an eye on. So loads to look forward to. And of course, all your fields, form and expert picks are available at thedogs.com.au.
Good on you, Stu. Thanks for your help, mate. Enjoy your afternoon.
See you later, mate. You take care.
Stuart Turner there. Now, it's approaching 1 minute to 11. There is a race from Winton, New Zealand, which is coming up in 3 minutes. It's their third race. Sovereign Banners, the $1.60 favourite, Espresso Martini at $6.30. After the race from Winton, we'll make a start on our previews. We'll take a look at racing at Canberra with John Scorse. Steve Hewlett will preview the Sunshine Coast for us. Dean Lester to have a look at Werribee. Chantel Buckley will look at Hawkesbury for us. And then South Australian, their racing this afternoon is at Bordertown. Pete Ellis will have that preview just before midday.